Hi, welcome to Your Unique Brain, creatively connecting body, minds, and hearts of people living with a traumatic brain injury. My name is Sabine Borges, and today we will be talking about what can be done when you're dealing with a traumatic brain injury and menopause. I'm sitting here with Alexandra Epple. She's an Ayurvedic practitioner, yoga teacher, body worker, and her specialty is working with women transitioning through menopause with grace and ease. We are both from Germany. She's from the south, I'm from the north, and we met at a yoga class. Americans usually like to introduce Germans to each other, so that what happened. And once I heard that her specialty was menopause and Ayurveda, I thought, well, aging and menopause affect the brain. And this was interesting to me because I have a traumatic brain injury. I wanted to talk to this lady and wanted to learn down-to-earth methods and tools that so that I and others can cope better with these multiple challenges. I am going to just give a little background about 16 years ago, I had a car accident and a traumatic brain injury occurred. Then I entered menopause, and of course, parallel to that is aging, so everything went according to plan. I moved to a dry and hot climate, and my symptoms worsened once I entered menopause. The list is long, but some of them were extreme irritability when it comes to heat and sound, being overwhelmed, unable to multitask, concentration was a problem, my whole body was stiff, I couldn't sleep very deep since I kept ruminating and going over and over what happened to the day. Basically, I felt emotionally fragile all the time, anxiety increased, and I had difficulties relaxing my body and mind. Decision fatigue and an alert nervous system were some of the other issues. It was not fun, needless to say, and often I literally could not function. So, this is just the fun subject of menopause. Alexandra, what do you think could be helpful to know and learn about this challenge? And from an Eastern medicine perspective, natural perspective, how would you view this?
Yeah, glad to be here, Sabine. And you know, what you're describing is multiple things stacked on top of one another, right? So we already have traumatic brain injury is an insult in a way to the body. And that in itself is already hard to deal with for many people, right? So now you're telling me, oh, and then you got into menopause, which is another transitional period for women. Then you're telling me, okay, then the aging thing that comes along with that. And then you're moving into a climate that was more challenging for you. So we're having things stacking on top of one another that worsen the symptoms. And that's from an Eastern perspective. Just makes it more challenging to deal with it. So when we look at just a traumatic brain injury, that's what we call in Ayurvedic medicine a vata aggravation. So vata is the elements of ether and air. So there's a lot more dryness and subtleness in your body happening. And so there we have trauma. Trauma is one piece. Then the menopause is the other piece that causes the body to go into an excess air and ether element kind of thing. So we have the trauma, we have the menopause. Then you were also describing a lot of symptoms around the nervous system. So the aggravation, the inability to take in stimuli, the overwhelm. So it sounds to me like the nervous system was very aggravated and compromised and needed some strengthening. So again, we have like these multiple facets going on. So when you stack them on top of one another, the symptoms will worsen. Now, when you look at it from a more Western medical perspective, the brain is the part of the central nervous system. So we have the brain, is part of the central nervous system and the spinal cord. And out of the spinal cord come all these different nerves that go out to your skin, to your senses, to the different parts of your body. So then when the senses take in information, so say you see something or you hear something or something touches your skin, the messages that you get from your senses travel through the nerves, into the spinal cord, and into the brain. And the brain's job is to interpret those messages, right? So if the brain's already compromised and you're feeding the brain a lot of stimuli, then the brain's going to be overloaded with the interpretation of it.
And that makes sense that sometimes then, you know, people who deal with that challenge feel just irritable. It's too hot, too fast, too much, too loud, too bright.
Yes.
Too cold, too windy.
Yes.
Because basically the brain has a hard time integrating all this information at once.
Exactly. Yeah. So it becomes incredibly important, especially in the earlier stages of a traumatic brain injury, to cut yourself off or really drastically reduce the stimuli that you find yourself around, so that the brain actually gets a resting period and can recover from the shock and the trauma it has undergone.
Mm-hmm. And what would be your approach, like a practical approach? How do you do that to calm the nervous system and work with it?
So I see several different things that are important first of all, for a traumatic brain injury, but also when it's overlain with menopause and other things that are showing up for a person, is three things. First of all, strengthening the nervous system. Because when you move into menopause, you're moving into the vata phase of life. And traumatic brain injury is already a vata symptom. And so vata means that there's a lot of lightness and dryness in your system. So, and vata relates a lot to the nervous system. So when vata shows up and the nervous system is aggravated, we need to strengthen it. And how do we strengthen the nervous system? Well, there's a number of really awesome things. And Ayurveda has this obsession with oil. And oil has exactly the opposite qualities of air and ether. It's heavy and it's moist. And so by putting oil on your body, you're putting this heavy blanket of protection and safety around you. Mm-hmm. And really allow the stimuli that you get in through the nerves, because there's a lot of nerve endings in the skin. So when you put oil on the skin, it's kind of saying, hey, let me put a protective blanket on you. You're safe and you're okay. And by doing that, the brain doesn't have to interpret an overload of stimuli all the time. So with that heavy blanket. So that's one of the ways to strengthen the nervous system. We can also strengthen the nervous system by taking herbs. Mostly what comes to mind for me here is the herb Brahmi, which has an incredibly powerful effect on strengthening the brain cells. It's really good for memory. And one of the things for traumatic brain injury people is memory. Same thing for menopause. Women are struggling to remember things or to focus intensely. They're feeling very overwhelmed and all over the place in their mind. So there's lots of parallel symptoms happening.
Is that a tea?
You can drink it as a tea, or you can take it just as a little shot, you know, like as a little powder in a little bit of water. You could put it in capsules. Mm-hmm. You could make yourself a ghee. You boil it into ghee. There's a specific process we use for that. Mm-hmm. There's also other herbs that come to mind. Shatavari and ashwagandha are two that come to mind as well, that are very strengthening to the nervous system. And just support the body in restoring itself. Mm-hmm. Whenever there is a shock or a transition, so the shock we have with the traumatic brain injury, then we have the transition with menopause, there's always an aggravation of the nervous system happening. So the strengthening and the sedating of the nervous system become super important.
Mm-hmm. And it seems also a tool to anchor the mind, you know, like structure, stability, routines, regularity.
That is the second aspect that I would look at, is calming the nervous system. So we were just talking about strengthening the nervous system. The second piece I would like to add is the calming of the nervous system. And the best way to calm the nervous system, like you said, is having a routine and a rhythm in your day. And so when the body has a rhythm, there's a calmness that comes with it. So you're eating at the same times every day. You're getting up at the same time every day. Just like the sun rises and sets every day in a nice rhythm, so does the body need to rise and slow down in the same rhythm. And when the nervous system is relaxed, then again, the brain doesn't get overloaded. And transitions and shock can be dealt with in a much more productive and much more easeful way.
Because at the same time, the brain needs to be stimulated to continue to build resilience.
Yes, and I'm not saying with calming the nervous system, I don't mean you get sedentary. So there's a big difference between being sedentary and just being calm and going about your activity. So instead of going stressfully about your activity, you're going easefully about your activity. So there's a huge difference, no?
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
You definitely want to stay active. Mm-hmm. So there we have two ways. So strengthening the nervous system, calming the nervous system, and the third piece that is of very big importance from my point of view is working with your attitude. Again, this is when you have an injury.
What attitude? What do you mean?
Right, huh? when you have an injury, right, like a big one, like a traumatic brain injury, or let's take a simpler one. Let's take like say you became paraplegic overnight. You had an accident, all of a sudden you can't walk. You will have to deal with the fact that you can't walk, and it's like, oh my God, I can't play sports anymore. I can't go for a hike anymore. Oh, I can't go even into my bathroom right now by myself. Or whatever that thing is, that limitation that you're dealing with. And when somebody has this shock and traumatic experience, there's an element of grief that comes with it. Grieving that you need to let go of the person you were in the past. The person who could maybe focus a lot. Maybe the person who could get things done, maybe the person who could be active 14 hours a day and only sleep 6 hours a day, all of that may be gone overnight. And there's this certain grieving process that comes along with that, with letting go of an old identity. Possibly also a lot of anger at first. Anger about, why did the universe do this to me? Like, why me? You know, I was fine yesterday, now I'm not fine. And so there's this whole emotional component of acceptance that needs to happen. And with acceptance, I have to also make a similar line that we just talked about. It's like not acceptance and
giving up.
Giving up, thank you. That's what I was looking for, yeah. Not acceptance and giving up, but acceptance and moving forward with what you got.
Yeah, because, I have a very hard time accepting the changes and the change in my personality. I do not like it. And I don't know if I will ever fully accept it or make peace with it, but I got to make the best out of it.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a certain allowing that comes with that. Allowing yourself to be the way you are today and not wishing you were different. And I think from what I'm gathering, it's really also a little bit harder when you have a brain injury versus, say, you're paraplegic. Because with paraplegia, people will see that you're paraplegic. They can see that you can't walk. They can see you're in this wheelchair you're sitting in. But with a brain injury, people don't see it. So there's another added level of, I have to constantly explain what has happened to me or how my brain functions, right? Could you agree with that?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a certain deeper level of acceptance that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So,
but you kind of wanted to encourage that with the change of identity, one can have the ability to change and see what's possible and not only focus on the limitation and embrace more the new identity and not just see only the negativity in it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like seeing the possibility and the positivity in what has happened, you know, because there's always something positive. There's always a possibility in any challenge. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it from an Ayurvedic perspective, and this is a little technical, but stick with me. So imagine the heart, spiritual heart, or the heart in general, spiritual heart. And the mind has the root in the heart. Also, what's in the root of the heart is the first tissue layer. So the first tissue layer, there's seven different tissue layers in the body from an Ayurvedic perspective. And so the first tissue layer is the foundation for all the other tissue layers, right? Tissue layer in the physical body, right? So because they both are rooted in the heart, mind, and the first tissue layer, if you have a mental attitude of negativity, it will immediately affect the first tissue layer. And that, in turn, will affect the way your blood is, it will affect the way your muscle tone is, it will affect the way your fat cells show up, it will affect the way your nerves show up, and so on and so forth. It affects the way ojas shows up. Ojas is a word for immunity and strength, your inner vigor. So, meaning, when the mind is afflicted, then the body will be afflicted as well. So you will be more prone to whatever the symptom is, maybe more prone to aches. You were talking about aches and pains in your body. You will be more prone to get infections. You'll be more prone to inflammation. So actually keeping your mind positive and really like on possibility rather than limitation is a huge, I mean, tremendously huge. I can't even, like, tremendously huge. Tremendously. You get it? Like, it has a tremendous effect on your physical body.
It's mind over matter, kind of.
Yes, and it is 100% true. Like, and you just go on Google and type in, you know, like, how have people healed themselves from dramatic injuries. Always the people who have a positive attitude, their outcome of how they live their life and of healing is thousandfold, trillionfold, I don't know, a lot more. Mm-hmm.
So let's say I'm going to be really good. Yes. I will oil my body. I will massage my body with the right oil. Uh-huh. And I will have structure in my daily life and routines, regular meals. I eat the right meals. I work on strengthening my nervous system and building resilience and calming it, and maybe I even do yoga, and that's like a full-time job. Sounds like it to me.
Yes, indeed. It can be a full-time job, and you know, it's so funny, Sabine, because in the beginning, you do have to make it a full-time job. When you have a trauma or a shock in your life, you do have to put self-care as a priority, and I would be lying to you if I said it was any other way. Now, the thing is, when you overlay menopause on top of that, because the body is transitioning into a different phase of life, and it's like a journey you're going on, it is in those moments that when we become older, when we start aging, self-care has to take a higher priority than when we are younger. Mm-hmm. Because when we are younger, we are in what we call the kapha and pitta stages of life. And kapha and pitta are two other body types that are have much more resilience, much more strength, much more like substance to them by nature. But when we move into the vata phase of life, which menopause is that, and we overlay the trauma, which is also that vata thing, then the resilience is just not there. And we do have to put priority on that. Now, is it a full-time job? Not really. In the beginning, yes, you have to put a lot of emphasis on it until it becomes a daily habit, a routine. And when it does that, then it just kind of flows into your day and you will be able to go about your normal activities. But in the beginning, yes, you have to spend some time educating yourself. You have to spend some time actually learning how to do it. Oh, where do I get all these products from? You know, like, how do I actually integrate this? And you just spend a few days, a few weeks on it to really educate yourself and say, okay, for the next 3 months, what I'm doing is I'm going to learn about how to take care of myself. And I'm actually doing that and I'm committing to it. And then it will be starting to be so integrated that it becomes a flow, you know?
So you wouldn't say I'm too old to do it? I'm in my 50s now, I still have a chance?
Definitely not, you know? Like one of my yoga teachers always said, you're never too old, you're never too sick to start something new. And I just recently looked, it was really funny, I was teaching an aging class actually recently, and I looked up some inspirational things on YouTube, and there it is, an 86-year-old woman, the world's oldest gymnast. And it's just so inspiring, you know, she was doing the double bars, and she was doing a handstand on the double bars. And I'm like, at 86, okay, this is really cool.
That will be us.
So, yeah. And then there was another woman who was 96. She's a yoga, she's the world's oldest yoga teacher. She took up ballroom dancing at the age of 85.
Well, thank you so much. That was fun and very, I learned a lot of new things that hopefully I will integrate and practice. And if people would like to have a personal conversation with you, how can they reach you or get in contact with you?
Yeah, so you can reach me on my website, through my website, which is nirvanawellness.org. So that's Nirvana, like the band Nirvana, N-I-R-V-A-N-A, wellness.org. And you can have a personal conversation with me also. I would love to invite you for a free strategy session where we can just chat about what's going on for you personally. I would love to hear what's up for you and how I can support you.
Okay, jetzt sagen wir nochmal auf Deutsch, auf Wiedersehen.
Servus, tschüss.
Servus.